general fund. There are, at bedtime, the general fund might loan money or underwrite costs, but it's the exception rather than the rule. These are supposed to be self-sustainable, self-sustainable departments, so that each of them has their own fee structures. And the fee structures have to be approved by the mayor and council. They don't change that often. And in the electric department, any fees that we establish have to be approved by the Public Service Commission. And they can change extremely rarely. And the last time we changed those was a little over a year ago, and that was for a rate reduction. So we'll just start department by department, and start off with Jane and Marvin, please.
Good evening.
Good evening, Mayor and Council. We're all of us are at a conference in Ocean City, so we came here to do this. So we're a little just getting ourselves situated. Yes. The revenues.
Which one are we doing?
Water.
Water.
Okay. I'm sorry. We estimated about a 6% increase over last year's proposed budget. Biggest being, we're fairly certain that, I'm almost 100% certain that we'll get 50 EDUs at the main place, medical office building. I've been in communication with them. Normally we budget for 30 per year. That's what the rate study suggested back about 4 years ago. But it's almost definite that this year we'll have 50 EDUs at a minimum. That's just that one project.
And basically calculated based on the 50?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so yep. That's the number you used. Okay.
Yes, we used 50.
Looks like we budgeted for an awful lot this current year.
Well, as for the 30, right. And eventually it evens out, but as a rule, that rate study said that we should budget for 30 every year, and sometimes we'll get 50. We've had 107 in good years, and let's hope this economy is turning around. It appears to be.
Is what they're doing down there now on 50 and Main Street, is that hooking them up to us now after they put the water and sewage in?
They are building a shell building that these 50 EDUs are supposed to go to. They have not hooked into the water and sewer as of yet. They are just building a shell building.
Are they going to hook the existing in, though?
Yes.
And that's part of this?
That's part of this.
They'd have to be on all the town.
Yes.
And I guess it's septic system.
Right, currently it's septic system.
Other buildings not hooked in?
No, not yet.
So they're
going to do it
together?
Yeah.
Okay.
But that was part of the money we factored for doing that. I mean, it is working out. Right.
Well, we haven't gotten anybody hooked in yet, but
eventually, right?
If we build it, they will come, we hope.
They have to hook in, right?
Yes, they have to. They have to hook in for the new building.
Even though they spent all that money,
they knew that when they started. The county gave them a temporary permission to put the septic system in.
So. Right. And they were waiting on us.
Right, yeah. Same with Muriel Select, I believe their system is.
How they even got to do what they did.
Pardon me?
I never did understand how they even got to do what they're doing.
It was created.
Well, we didn't have any way to.
It was a camp. Yeah, we didn't have any water and sewer.
Said, tough luck.
Well, they had septic drains. Nice tax them.
Now, what about the state police bears and their forensic lab? Is that going
to be? We certainly hope so.
That'll be a few there, too, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes. And it's my understanding that their water system is in really bad shape. They spend a lot of money treating the water from their well. So hopefully, there was money at one point set aside in account, but I guess we had to give that back because we didn't get it up there soon enough. But they definitely want to come in. And then there's Mariel Select.
What does the law say about, like, the state police grants? If the system fails, then they have to hook onto our system. Mm-hmm. They can't rebuild another system.
Right.
And that was part of all that debate about the septic bill that was very controversial in the last legislature. It was two legislatures ago when they, I think, finally passed that and said that they don't even give the counties the option.
If it's a failing system and there's water and sewer available by the property, then they have to tie in. Same on 346. There are several initially that didn't hook in, but as soon as their system started failing, they had to hook in.
They passed legislation this year now that people need the money. They don't even have to go through the town now to get that grant money to help them hook up. They can go apply directly themselves. We took out that layer to help it go faster to make people be able to
or
failing.
Yeah, and that was one of the big arguments. In the past, it was possible to develop literally within a few hundred, less than 100 feet from available sewer and water, and the state and the federal government has spent a lot of money and continuing to end up upgrading municipal and county public and sewer and water. They don't want to cut off their nose and fight the face by making it possible for people to just not hook in. So, I think the timing, everybody's got a crystal ball, but it certainly seems like every year we are getting closer to the point where we're getting a lot more, a lot more inquiries.
Mm-hmm.
And eventually those inquiries will turn into action. Let's take our best shot. I'm kind of surprised this one didn't happen already. Laura, just remind me, just make an inquiry about that.
Is your pocket ring?
Yeah, probably is.
I don't know how that is.
My phone's plugged in over there. Oh no, is it going on?
All right. And is there any, in terms of any special initiatives or anything that you're expecting to happen during the fiscal year?
We'd like to get well number 3 online. We are working. That's almost complete. That way we can have all 3 wells. Stop sweating every time we have issues.
Mm-hmm.
In the water department, as you can see, we didn't raise much of anything. What seems to be the highest amount that was increased is the contingency, and that's a safe. That's like the security blanket, or security net rather.
Mm-hmm.
What are the connection fees now for water and sewer?
To combined, it's $16,686.
And the breakdown.
I knew you'd ask.
$12,261.44.25.
It used to be round numbers, and now, they haven't been.
Changed.
It hasn't increased since 2009.
Okay. Why is the in the administration? Why are the salaries going down?
The way we structure things now. In supervising the Public Works Department as well as the Water Resources side, she's actually split a third and 1,300, a third and 3310, and a third and 3360.
Or before it was half.
Public Works, water, and general fund.
Just, and again, I think it's just hard to predict the year because so much, as soon as we get over the major hurdles with stormwater, as soon as we get some other things done with electric that we want to get done, obviously one of the things that we want to keep an eye out for is opportunities to get another water tower.
Absolutely.
And so, again, that was something that through development, I think the opportunity would come. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that was part of the discussion with the, I don't know what the new property, or the cannery, but also, but not so much cannery, but the other one on Seahawk Road.
Right.
But that definitely would require a water tower.
Yeah, I think that's the thing, is that one is dependent on the other. Mm-hmm. So when we have that need, we also have the resource.
Yeah.
So, good. Okay. I just want to make sure we're kind of just thinking in the same terms. It's within sight, but not an immediate.
Our capital, we have just the three. We have. We would like to get a box truck to replace the existing box truck that houses most of our equipment that we need out in the field, meters, apparatuses for whatever we might need, cutoff saws, or that's a 1989 truck that we currently have. So
bought used.
Yeah, we bought it used at that. So it's due.
You got your money worth out of it.
And then again, we'll jointly share on the billing software and town hall carpet.
Mm-hmm. I see special connection fees. You got a $221,250 proposed on the front sheet. On the back sheet, you got a special connection $95,000.
The other $95,000 is in the sewer fund, but that still adds up to more than
$50,000.
It's just specifically allocated to the capital outlays, not the general revenue. We are trying to just specifically earmark that the capital outlays will be specifically allocated out of the special connections. It's not a number to tie to each other.
Okay, so it's the actual physical cost.
Out of the $221,250 paid in just capital outlays.
I understand that, at least I think the understanding, understand that. By chance, if the say the worst possible scenario happens and we don't collect even $95,000 in special connection fees, what happens then?
Well, it basically becomes then general operating revenues, and what we have as of right now is the healthy contingency fund.
What, 330?
Okay, so you got more than enough.
Yes.
So you're taking just 95 out of this 175.
Mm-hmm. 95 out of
221.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's all you're taking out of that.
Correct. For capital outlays. Yes.
And the 95 that later on comes out of the sewer fund is out of that.
That
fund.
Special
connections. Which is much greater than this number.
Yeah.
Anyone have any,
all the special connection fees are at the current rate?
At the current rate.
Are we going to come out in the black in this year's water fund?
I'm sorry, on the
current year.
FY14, will we be in the black?
I hope not. Probably not who did this so far. We've done a couple of budget amendments to lower this the contingency fund to cover.
But overall, are we going to be in the black?
We're good. No, we will be fine.
In other words, are we going? I think there's a mixture of communications here. I think what Mrs. Lynch wants to know is how confident you feel that the water fund will end up in the black as of June 30th.
With a positive.
It will be on the positive side as of March from the financial statements. I think it will be a good number.
So
I guess I was just looking for an end of the year projection, positive or negative for the water fund.
It is positive.
Will be.
Yes.
Any other questions for these folks? Thank you. Next is Jamie Blanch to come up for wastewater. Join the hang. Hello, how are you doing?
Good, how are you, Mayor?
Good.
And Council?
Okay, we'll start with the revenues. This budget contains the last of the voted on sewer increases that were passed 2 years ago that was required for the funding from USDA and MDE. So obviously that's where the 5% increase on the ready to serves and the sewer charges comes from. Hauler fees. We kept the same, the special connection fees, same thing. 50 EDUs is what we're anticipating, which is higher than the normal 30. And that's the difference. Again, we try to keep the sewer fund about the same, a status quo. Obviously, we moved some funds around because we saw there was a deficiency in utilities. Our spray site, this is the first full year we've had it in operation, so we weren't quite sure what the cost would be for that. So that you will see some increases in the utilities.
Just before, was it last spring?
Well, we started.
We really never. We pumped over probably April, May, but we really never started spraying until probably the end of September, the 1st of October.
This is not supposed to.
Well,
we could. It was just.
It wasn't completed.
It wasn't. We had issues with the drain valves and so forth.
Slightly higher operating costs.
Oh, we think so, but not so much in day to day. Just the utilities, pretty much. There's pumps use a lot of electricity.
We have chalk tank out there.
We do, at both sites actually. I'd like to put windmills up one day or something. Solar panels.
There's no air base nearby.
Well, Wallops actually had a satellite within a mile of us.
It was just a temporary.
Yeah, they took it down. 6 months and it's gone now.
Between the drones and everything else. Figure something out. Is your sewer fund going up in the black now?
Now I know it's black, and it's on the positive side. I'm sorry.
Red.
We don't want to be red. We're all in green. It's good.
And this budget also has a contingency, not as healthy as the water, but it has a contingency of $182,000, which is an increase of $57,000 from last year.
You want to talk about your capital?
Yep. I was just waiting to see if there's any specific questions on the. We have three items. You want to talk about the tractor?
Yeah, the tractor we have was purchased when we built the first spray site back in probably 95, and it's starting, it's getting a lot of hours on it. I mean, you figure it runs 40 hours a week, and so it's time to replace, and it's starting to, a lot of maintenance starting to come up with it.
You said it was 1985?
95, 96.
Okay. Almost 20 years old.
Between these two funds where you're replacing two vehicles, Mm-hmm. You're getting rid of the elephants, right?
Yes. Well, definitely the box truck. We may try to limp along with the other tractor for a little while, but because we don't usually buy them. Right.
I don't know what a box truck is, but it is a truck.
It's a truck.
Does it go on the road?
Yes.
Yes.
So you have to have insurance for it.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
And that one will be gone.
Yes. We'll sell it on eBay or something, or whatever Gov deals.
The tractor usually keep them and get a new one, but keep them or just do something with it, mm-hmm. just so you don't want to depend on it for your major tractor.
Right.
Did you push on
it? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it came with a contract before when we were going to be farmers, and the tractor was to, when we were going to grow reed canary grass out of the first spray site. It was purchased with grant money.
Landfill.
Yeah. So.
That turned out to be a good
novel. It did.
Mm-hmm. Okay, any questions for the capital budget for the sewer fund?
Thank you.
Next is the stormwater utility department.
Oh, we're probably being a little abrupt here, but we're trying to get to our dinner.
Sure. Hi, John.
How are you?
How are you doing?
Good.
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 Great.
Obviously, there's not a whole lot here. We did reduce the contribution, or it was requested that the contribution from the general fund be reduced. I think we can still manage to handle the handle what we've been handling, and hopefully do a little bit more since we got the FEMA grant. That's listed as $124,000. That's a minimum. There was some. Typographical errors, and we believe it's going to be increased, but we wanted to be conservative on this budget, so we put down what we absolutely knew we were going to get, but there could be an increase of about $25,000 more.
So that is guaranteed?
As guaranteed as can be. I mean, we met with them, we were there to sign the papers, and the papers had two different numbers on them, so that's why.
The lower one.
Yeah, we put the lower one in here. But he's Mark James from MEMA said that the higher amount was the one that he was familiar with and that he thought was approved, but we haven't heard anything back yet.
Okay. It's better than like saying, be conservative. Mm-hmm. If it works out better, great.
So obviously, not a whole lot of change in this budget. The big news, we think, is we think we'll have enough money to do the Flower Street culvert replacement, which is a big boost, and it's in one of the high, number one on the worst areas that need to be addressed or that are most critical. So that was good news at the end of the day when we saw that we had some money that we could do something big and make a big difference.
Yes, we actually just tear out the culvert that's there now and expand it and then line it with stones and other things and then so that there's a water flow.
Yes, and well, right now it's a bottleneck.
Yeah, yeah.
It's definitely, and so all that zigzag up there, it backs up there, and then backs up in all the neighbors' yards, and sometimes it's a torrential river coming through there. So eliminating that bottleneck will certainly help the flooding upstream. Also, the grant money is also going to be on Hudson Branch. That will be over on the William Street area. Again, part of that project is to increase the size of the culvert. By the power plant. Again, that's another bottleneck. That contributes to Nelson, Graham, Grace, all the Franklin Avenue flooding, as well as William Street itself. So opening those up should really make a difference.
All right, so if I understand correctly, I can easily picture how the expanded culvert on Flower Street certainly has, it seems like a reasonable potential to significantly reduce flooding.
Yes.
And you're saying that you expect a similar benefit from the culvert on William Street. Thank you.
Yeah, it's not. William Street is a little bit more of a project besides the increase. There's we're going to open up the flow channels behind Jamestown townhomes and between Walnut Hill. There's a weak link there, or a real extreme bottleneck. That's why those residents suffer so much damage during any substantial rain. That's where we put the pump the couple times that we've rented it. Opening that up is going to really make a difference. Also, we're hoping to expand. There's a storm pond over in that area as well, and expand that.
Other than the harshest months of the year, would this work be able to be done through a majority of the next 12 months? Because, you know, some projects are so weather sensitive, but I didn't know.
It's really not the weather, it's the permits that take forever. And we have started submitting for the permits for the William Street. The Flower Street shouldn't be much, except that it is still waters of the state, so you do have to get those.
Now you're talking about both DNR and NDEQ permits for each?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes.
Are they changing the curve there by Flower Street, or is it going to stay like that, where it comes down and then curves?
Not in this proposal. They're still doing a design for the Flower Street improvement area, that whole area. I know that's what the residents want.
I'm wondering if the improvements, where it's going to be, the water's going to be traveling a little bit faster, if it would even help that, you know, if they don't change it.
Well, certainly the zigzag would slow it down,
right,
instead of letting it increase.
Right.
But because it's just bare ground, that would also create a lot more erosion. Mm-hmm. So it certainly has to be addressed one way or the other, whether it's going to be riprapping the sides or straightening it out, maybe
something needs to be done.
Yeah, piping some of it in.
Right.
Again, that's what
is that
EA is working on.
Is that something that the EA engineering at least had the recommendation before we sent out a bid?
Yes, and they do have somewhat more than I'm being able to tell you, because I don't have it with me, but they are aware of that area, that zigzag area.
Just because, you know, obviously this is new, I assume that with both of these and with the ones that are to follow in later years, I assume that you and Darrell Forward, at the minimum, if there's anybody else that needs to come forward and give us a presentation, so we have a good feel for what it is that we're
absolutely
going to end up with.
And we do. We want, just like we did on West Street, we want the residents to embrace it, and we certainly don't want to do something that everybody's not going to like, or it's not going to work. Just like when we had that design for that area, and when we met with the residents, they didn't want a river in their backyard,
right.
And so we that was
the feeling of the neighbors that live along that ditch right now, is that it's not going to be done. They feel like it's not going to be completed, because they've been promised so many times that something's going to be done.
Well, just,
but we're hoping that...
Just tell them that we're up there.
Yeah, we're hoping that...
If we all
was
low enough, we'll get done.
Because you have to get easements in the middle of it, right?
Yes.
Yeah, that's what they did.
Can we turn the heat down?
I'm tempted to do
that. It's hot in here.
It's big. Follow the fight.
We haven't gotten to that point yet, and certainly we will absolutely share it, and we won't proceed without having input and having.
And but that's all what you said. Should we expect that? Bring it down, because you know that's something we should expect in the first 6 months of the fiscal year.
For the designs, I believe they're about 90% complete, if I recall Darrell's conversation. So they are very close to getting done. And they were only approved under FY14, so they better get it done to get paid for the, during this year. So I believe that you'll see something probably in early July, August.
The reason I ask is because if the design elements and the engineering is squared away, we've vetted it through the neighborhood so they know what we're talking about in inspection, then it's realistic that that improvement can be, then it's something we can expect to be have done by this time next year. Isn't that the whole idea?
By this time next year? For Flower Street?
Flower Street?
Well, definitely the culvert, but we have to secure financing for the rest of the... We don't.
We're waiting for the grant.
Yes.
Okay.
And we did hear that their budget was reduced by $3 million, so it probably isn't going to happen this year. But they did say that they would look at us for FY.
So we may have to do it in two phases.
Yes. Yes.
Okay. Just need to know.
Three phases.
Maybe three. Okay.
Two phases.
Yeah, is A&E under professional services?
EA, yes.
A&E.
EA, yeah.
Not an alphabetical order. I guess this is just budget stuff, but I guess I don't understand why if something has nothing budgeted in FY14 and it gets budgeted in FY15, it's a 0% difference.
It's the difference between the...
0 and 30,000 is not 0%.
But we go in from the difference between from 15 to 14 and becomes divided by 0 equals 0 in the formula. It just carries, and then if the formula carries it over, it becomes a little weak and funny, so it's 0. Because there is no increase or decrease.
Are you looking at the 30,000 for the equipment?
Yeah.
Yeah, that, if I believe, has...
That's not a 0%.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought you were talking about in general. Yeah, that probably, I did not carry the formula.
There are a couple that are like
okay.
that.
Okay, I will check this column.
But I do know that the $30,000 was paid out of this year's budget for that reserve for that back truck.
Yeah.
It's every year.
It's more like a set-aside.
Yeah.
And that's what I'm trying to do, is just get the accounting right for that set-aside so that...
And you're ready
to buy the back
truck.
And then it'll just be there. Yeah.
I don't think
that the
checks the formulas.
Yeah, she's
going to.
I'm
going
to
check the formula in
the column
one more time.
Contingency is the same thing.
Mm-hmm. It goes from 0 to 36.9, right? It has to be. It would seem 100%.
It's a dollar.
So what else should I tell my friends that are on Nelson Avenue? They should look at seeing some kind of improvement study.
Did Darrell thought we would have the permits for the William Street by August, I thought?
You're thinking August.
So when
funding wise,
but we don't have the funding.
Well, the funding for the William Street, which will help Nelson, that's the MEMA grant.
It is?
Yes.
That's, oh, okay. So
not the FEMA, the what?
It's Maryland Emergency Management. Okay. It actually is FEMA money, but it's administered through Maryland. So
you lose money through that cut.
Probably.
When you go from here to there, there's an administrative level.
Probably,
you get here.
So if I recall correctly, each one of these major phases has a different primary funding source, and in each case we're doing a little bit of collectively put together a variety of grants with our stormwater fees, and that's how we're getting them done. It's not
yes.
like we've got one source.
Right. And in fact, they want you to have different sources, and they communicate with each other and they say, well, you know, we have 50,000, but if you give 50,000, then maybe we can come up with 80,000. So they really have a dialogue going on between them. But if you can secure one or two, then there's usually more to come with that, because they cooperate with each other.
In terms of this, I'll just call it, communication back and forth with these different funding agencies, who runs point on that? Is that you, or is it you and Laura together, or is it you and Natalie and Laura? How does that work?
Darrell has been instrumental in doing a lot of the grant work.
Right.
Yes. Mary has CDBG,
okay.
and I give my help whenever I can to whomever needs it, and of course Laura's been participating as well.
Darrell's usually the first point of contact,
okay.
And then if he's not getting what he needs, then I step in and try.
Okay. All right. When you need help, you ask for it.
Yeah, we sort of work as a team.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. That's good. So we're still, our original projection was it would take between 3 and 4 years once we got started, right? Is that still realistic as best that you can tell? Or is that maybe a little optimistic?
Well, I honestly thought it was 5 years, but I think 5 years is doable. I think the 3 and 4, I mean, we're already in our first year, and granted, we have secured some. We have done a nice project on West Street. That wasn't at the top of our list, but we had the money. We got the money for that project, so we were silly not to do it. And we've had many residents in that area say that they have seen a reduction in their flooding all the way around, even as far down as Buckingham Estates.
Okay. Because, you know, generally speaking, most people seem very, if anything, they want it tomorrow.
Yeah.
Or yesterday.
Yes,
you know,
yes.
Or yesterday. But there are some people who just want to have it done, and just want to be able to give realistic expectations. So if we're talking realistically 5 years from today, if everything goes reasonably, and food's not everything being perfect, but a few hiccups along the way, but it's at least a realistic expectation.
Mm-hmm.
That within 5 years we'll have this core of capital improvements in stormwater accomplished.
Yes, and by then too we should have the system all jetted, videoed, and the stormwater conveyance, the ditches, cleared out. But it can't happen overnight, especially with just two employees. It is a labor intensive job to clean out those ditches. Some of the, there's trees in there that have been growing for 10, 15 years.
Are you satisfied with these 2.1 employees? You have plenty to do to keep them busy?
They have more than enough to keep them busy.
I mean, you're satisfied with what they're doing?
Oh, yes. It's one of these things, if they're working in the ditches, that's something that people can see. But if they're doing the underground piping, people don't see that, and it's out of sight, out of mind. They think that they're not being productive, or they're not doing their work, but they certainly are. We've tried not to focus in one spot because everybody wants theirs done. So we've been trying to...
As far as you're concerned, this is a very worthwhile endeavor, what we're doing.
I absolutely believe that. Yes.
Another budget question. The overhead, is that what goes back to the general fund?
Mm-hmm.
Seems like a tidy sum. And where do the legal expenses come in? Because we spent quite a bit of legal
expenses.
Yes,
we have.
The total as of today, or is projected, the 37,000?
It's going down, but what are we getting for legal expenses? What's involved?
Any consulting of the professional firm that we were dealing, I guess we have, Laura, what's the name?
Nathan.
Yes.
That's why we've gone down.
Yes.
Okay.
Anticipating that.
Yeah.
Light
bulb.
Does anybody have any more questions on the operating budget? And now we'll move on to the capital budget for stormwater. Mm-hmm.
where you explained the Flower Street culvert.
Yep, and then other than that, it's just the annual contributions for the back truck.
And that is replacement because it initially cost about $300,000, right?
It cost about $300,000, and it was purchased with grant money for the wastewater treatment plant, so they are sharing it, but at some point it's going to have to be.
The back truck was about, if I remember right, Jane, I think it was about $500,000.
No,
$279,000.
Yeah, $280,000 is what.
Well, and 57 cents.
I'm talking about the contract that went on. That's right.
You can remember it. $730,000 for 10 years.
Yeah.
Okay.
$300,000. So we have set last year for 30, and this year we're looking at another 30.
Okay, so we're right on schedule.
Yes.
Okay.
And literally, when Jocelyn has her folks out there, I mean, that machine gets a workout.
Is that going to be one of the pieces of equipment that touch a truck bed?
Yes, absolutely. Yes.
Really? Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, we won't have to worry about anybody being sucked up. And we're going to have somebody operate that. That's what we're doing.
Yes, yes.
Only those folks we don't like well.
They want to make sure they're touching the right part of the truck.
Yeah, we're going to have that and the camera truck, because that's really impressive to see. And some other ones that we might throw in there.
Okay. Excellent. I think that's an excellent idea about the, putting money away for the replacements. It's just.
So that's where does that money go? What do we do with it?
Cloud,
the purchase of the new back truck, we set in aside $30,000. We're going to create as a reserve for capital outlay. It's going to be carried over until we reach this amount and be able to purchase those.
So it's like a restricted fund?
It's not restricted. We just restricted it in within the fund. But we kind of creating.
So now do we have $60,000?
We will be in fiscal year, yes.
And
in fiscal
year 15,
we will have 60 total, yes.
Yeah. I think that's in there again. That's where I think whoever is filling these seats, it's the responsibility to make sure that the money doesn't get spent somewhere else.
Right.
Like the state of Maryland does with their money.
Yeah. There's a lot of. Well, let's face it, that used to happen here a lot.
Well, for this specific account, we will just set a special separate account that will be specifically named. With the new software, we will create a brand new chart of accounts, maybe more specific to a project or a reserve account that will be specifically saying that is a back track. So going forward, it will be more easy to identify.
Good.
You probably hear from Jamie if somebody tries to spend that money.
Yeah.
You'll have to pass me.
Okay.
So we haven't done that yet because we haven't gotten out of this fiscal year.
Yeah.
Do you see a reason? Is there any reason to believe that money won't be available to set aside?
No, we budgeted. Yes, no. We set it aside. It will be carried forward.
Okay.
There is no reason.
Okay. That's what I was going to say. All right. Does anyone have any other questions for Jocelyn or Jane? Excellent. Thank you very much. Jocelyn, that was really easy. Good luck. Thank you. I appreciate it. Thank you.
If you don't mind, we're going to thank you.
That's great.
You
got to do
that. Yeah. Good, thanks.
Before Tim gets started, I wanted to just mention that we had some money budgeted in this fiscal year for smart meters, and about $100,000 budgeted in next fiscal year for smart meters. We've been looking at that demonstration project. We're at a point where we want to revisit our relationship with NextGrid and look for a vendor that can actually more closely meet the needs of both the water and the electric department. So Tim's in the process of talking to NextGrid about what we need to do to sort of step back a little bit, keep the public Wi-Fi going, but we won't be entering into any kind of a contract with them, at least not in 2014. So that money would go back to the fund. And what we would like to keep the money in 2015 as a placeholder, because we do really believe that smart metering technology is the way to go. It's just finding the right vendor to work with two really key departments.
Yeah, and the thing is, it is one of those things where I want to make sure that everyone feels absolutely confident, because those meters, a metering system for both utilities, electric and water, are going to be in place for a long, long time. You know, as some individual meters, they have to be in place. And these, it's my opinion, and anyone disagrees, no, it seems to me that the whole enterprise of getting the smart metering to be as great a benefit to customers and to the town all begins with the billing software. So it's kind of like, I want to get the, at this point, technically speaking, the cart is a little bit of the head of the horse, just the way it worked out. We thought we had the right billing software, but I think that decision and the proposal of all of our capital expenditures this year, and there's a lot of important ones, nothing's more important than that billing software. Because if we get, when we get that right, then that starts allowing us to do other things. You were talking about the new chart of accounts and the ability of, there's so many hours, at least from what I can see, so many hours of manual time expended that should be able to be done with a few keystrokes. Just a few, so that our finance people who are trained are not, what do they used to call them when they, people just enter data entry people? They're not spending their time as much of their time as data entry people. They're spending their time as finance folks and working with the numbers, and also that we can know where we are, make better projections, and adjust to unexpected consequences. So I just want to throw that in, that once we have that software in place, in the meantime, it doesn't mean we'll be doing nothing, because what I've, and I haven't even had a chance to talk to Tim, but what I asked Laura to do was to form a group of among our directors of our department heads, and do some on-site visits at places that have a reputation of getting this right already. Mm-hmm. There has to be somebody somewhere, and I'm sure there's more than one, and maybe we'll end up looking at two or three systems. In the meantime, it certainly gives NextGrid an opportunity to make their product more competitive. We're not saying that they're out of the ballgame, but we're saying, hey, we don't, this is not one of those things that we can take a mulligan on. We've got to get it right the very first time. And so I think as excited as I am about all the progress that we've made, it's particularly since Tim's been here in the electric department, I just think that we've got to make sure that we're all moving at the same time, the same pace, so that at least doing what we can to anticipate problems. And I just think with billing software, we've got to get it right the first time, and then it opens up a lot of possibilities.
I think this is going to be the second time.
Yeah, the second time. And but you know what? I think we learned a lot by the last time. and here's another thing. I think one of the things we learned is that, and there's no reason for it. It's just like we have many municipalities that we have relationships with. We have much greater outreach, and I have to say that is due to both Tony and Laura, because of their networking with other communities and their professional background. We have many different municipalities, some our size, some bigger, that we can actually call on. Have you ever had anybody say they wouldn't help?
No.
It's just the nature here. If somebody calls us and says, we'd like to drop by and see what you're doing, they're more than welcome. So I just want to kind of give you the background as to why we're where we are, especially since we just haven't had a chance to talk. And I can't imagine know you've not been that busy, so, yeah. With all these events and everything.
Yeah. Smart meters budgeted on what line item?
They were in capital outlay for fiscal year 14. We have budgeted $85,000, and all of them were expected to be paid out of the bond that we have ongoing bond for electric upgrade. So that fiscal year 14 expense actually will stay untouched, and the bond amount will be carried forward. For fiscal year 15, we have budgeted $100,000 for the smart metering.
And that's in the distribution?
It's in capital.
It's 492?
Yes.
In distribution?
4230. It's in distribution. It's in power distribution under electrical, under capital outlay, very last item on the page.
Okay, and for FY14, it was how much?
$85,000.
Just for the smart meters, but there are other capital.
There are other things.
Yes.
There are other capital items in there.
Right, and then you're going to repeat the 85 in FY15.
It becomes 100,000.
I believe it's 100,000.
We're just making it 100,000 even, yes.
Yeah, just round it off.
And you can see an itemized list of what the capital items are on the last page of the budget presentation. I think Natalie wanted to start with revenues, if that's okay.
Right. Yeah, sure. Go ahead. You mentioned it, that's why I was just trying to figure out where
that's
it
fine. We can get that. I'm just going to give a quick kind of overview. Even we see the 3% increase, but we have certain line items that actually were decreased. For our main revenues, residential, commercial, and general services, those amounts are projected for fiscal year 15 with the help of Booth and Associates. They're going with several standpoints where we are as of today and what we're looking at the market to be for the purchase power and everything. For primary four, we're not going to have this item. This item been shifted off from our general ledger and combined. Is it general service?
Yeah.
Right, general service. The main big increase, as you can see, is the sales material services for $100,000. And the reason we discussed this with Tim for the new community, Tim anticipating a big increase in help for putting the new services. But in the same time, all this new services will be billed back at the rates that they will be expensed back to vendors.
This is in anticipation of
for
Canary Village.
Okay.
So who's in the general services group?
Who's in the general services?
Are they is it like the hospital, schools, that kind of thing?
The schools, hospitals, things like that. The grain mill.
They're not commercial,
yes,
but they're big.
Yes, they're big.
Tell me, how current is this year-to-date figure?
Those are as of March 31st.
As of March 31st?
Yes. And the reason I have not updated, because our billing is not updated for the April. So for the next financial statements, you will see April numbers. If you don't have any questions about revenues, I'll let Sam go over the expense side.
When, by the time we get to the final vote up or down or last minute revisions, which hopefully we'll have resolved before then, traditionally we do, will the year-to-date be the most current one?
Yes, absolutely. I will make it as of what the date we will be for introduction.
Okay.
Good.
Yep.
Tim, on the street lights on there, what's all that revenue?
The street lights, it's the we just estimated by looking at the 3 to 4 years of usage, and it was slightly over budgeted for fiscal year 14.
So we decided to go a little bit down to 78,000 to be on more conservative side.
The town, right?
Yes.
So in other words, the town does not have free electricity.
No, yes, this is our street.
The town of Berlin pays for its electricity to keep lights on.
Yes, absolutely.
So that's where it comes from.
I'm sorry, I thought you were asking why is it decreased? What is it on the street?
A couple years ago, you get kind of used to it.
That's what it is. You're having sales.
We're good to go to expense side of it. Okay.
Good evening, Mayor and Council. I'll start out with the administrative budget, which is 4210. That's the first sheet there. The major changes are under 40, 20, 21, 22, 25, and 26. All those line items have been combined. They've been moved from the power plant budget and also distribution into administration. That was recommended by the finance office. So you'll see there some increases, and that's due to the fact that everything was moved under administration. So it's all total now.
And it used to be under power plant?
Power plant and distribution.
So the split. Yeah, right. Yeah, that makes sense.
Yes. Which you'll see that in the other
two departments.
Two departments. You'll see where there's zero balance now because they've been moved to administration. Most of the other line items have stayed the same down through there, except for when you get to the next page, which is the Energy Audit Assistance Fund. That's actually increased by $1,000, and that was due to the rate case that was recommended by the Public Service Commission. The next one, the 4107, the Electric Assistance Fund, that is where we have to match donations from the public for assistance on that one. So you see a difference of 7%, but that's mainly due to the other
combination
of everything being totaled into administration on that.
But it's not really being used this year, either, right?
What's that, ma'am?
Unless I'm misreading it, the audit assistance hadn't been used at all.
Year to date, it's 2,800.
The electric assistance funds is what we match in for the nation, but the audit assistance, we have not used anything, but that is required for us to
budget.
Right,
but nobody's taking advantage of it.
No.
And we're not getting big donations either.
We've actually collected 28. We matched 28, so we have sent $5,600.
Right, so we budgeted 10.
It was 1,200.
We're just hoping one day.
What happened? I mean, we could always change that by passing a different resolution. The resolution the year we created that was we would match up to 10, so we could get a ceiling. Mm-hmm. If by simply changing that resolution, saying we match it up to 5, yeah, we could change these numbers. But what I'd rather...
I'd rather see it there.
Right.
Just being used.
Yeah. But I encourage that it went up from 1,200 to 2,800 in 1 year.
Right.
But in the same times, we kind of locked on those numbers because of the rate case. It's been already discussed. It's in writing, so we have to follow the steps.
Yeah.
I cannot decrease it because
it's all
screwed up.
Yeah.
And again, someday, none of us may still be here, hopefully here on Earth, but not. but someday, I believe the town. There'll be enough of them, and there'll be enough people to support that kind of donation. And hopefully, also, too, we'll find eventually, the idea is that more and more people become self-sufficient.
Yes, absolutely.
And the percentage of people in the community over time who need energy assistance should actually go down by not only from percentage, but by actual number. So, it's a combination of factors, and I think we're doing the right thing.
Yes.
We just need to monitor it, and it's the kind of thing we know that if we do go to seek to change it, we want to make sure we know why.
One of the things I probably would suggest to add going with a new billing software, where people able to pay online, I have a suggestion to us as a town to have an option. For example, if you have a bill of $100, you can pay $102, and $2 will go automatically to the energy system fund. So hopefully with the new software, we can implement this little function that will help. Instead of us mailing the letters and expect people once a year to send donation,
well,
they can...
I think experience in fundraising, I make a living that for about a year, is if you have more than one window or more than one door to come through, you're going to find some people find it as part of their giving. In the giving season, that's why we send the letter out. We do for two reasons. We send the letter out because it is at the peak of the giving season, which is between Thanksgiving and Christmas. And the other reason is because we need to know how much money is available, because it's really needed most heavily during the winter.
Right.
So there's two that fortunately complement each other. So I would say I like that idea, but I wouldn't have one in...
we're not eliminating. Yes, we're not going to eliminate the letters.
Unless
it's just going to be something.
Yeah, they
want to
be able to write.
They
want to write.
That's wrong.
Nothing wrong with that either.
Government lets you do it.
Okay. Thank you. All right.
Okay. The next fund is 4220, which is the power plant. You'll notice under 4020 through 22 and then 4025, those are all zero balances because we moved those into administration on that. The next big one is 4041, which is equipment maintenance. We actually took that down $10,000 due to actual expenses throughout 14. So you'll see where it decreased there. Next one is 4053, supplies and operations. We actually decreased that too because of actual expenses through 14. And then the next three big ones are 4063, 66, and 67, which is lube oil, diesel fuel, and purchase power. That is actually calculated by Booth Associates. They come up with those numbers and the amount of fuel and the price of purchase power. Overall, the power plant budget was decreased by 2%, and that's based on actual expenses for FY14.
How are we
going to
do this year?
What's that, ma'am?
How are we going to do this year?
I hope we do well.
It'll be positive.
Black
or
red?
Positive.
Green.
Green.
The power plant seems to be doing really well. It has for the past 4 years.
You're hitting those peaks and getting those credits, right?
Yes, ma'am. We haven't missed a peak in three and a half years that I've been here.
And one thing I think, I can't predict the timing, but just trying, this is always a good time, I think. Think about what we're doing now and what we hope we can do as soon as it's feasible. Right. One of the things that Tim has, I guess, put a trial balloon up there and has started to do some initial research on is that we do have the one generator that we call the
bag of bolts. Spare parts.
It's
Chubichi.
One of our thinking is that at some point, again, we'll have to see how the natural gas, how the cost of that energy, if it goes to where it's proposed to go, we don't have to lead the way, we can kind of watch the market. But one of the things Tim's keeping an eye on is restoring that, but not fueled by oil, but fueled by natural gas. Mm-hmm. We don't have to make that decision today, but it's something you're just keeping an eye on, because again, the whole energy market is changing dramatically, and if we can turn a liability into an asset and generate that much more, what it would have to do, the bottom line would be, whatever investment we made in it, within a reasonable 3 to 5 year period, we'd have to get a return on our investment by additional credits from the PJM grid.
That's correct.
So it should be something the numbers should be able to work themselves out.
Right.
It's a little early, but I just want to bring it up so that
nobody's
in the dark about anything we're looking in the long range about. Mm-hmm. It's an intriguing idea. That's as far as much, I think, as much as we can say now, but I think we definitely, hopefully, can turn those bolts into dollars down the road. But it's got to have a return on investment.
Yes. Moving on to 4230, which is distribution. Same thing, you'll see 40, 20, 21, 22, and 25. They have been moved to administration, so you see zero balances in there. Next big one is the 4040, which is building maintenance. There was actually an increase there of $5,500, and the reason why is our building is starting to need some maintenance. New gutters, tile floors, type stuff like that. The building is in need of some repairs. So I put that in there for that purpose. Equipment maintenance, our vehicles are starting to get older, especially the bucket trucks. They're requiring some maintenance issues, like pumps and things like that, hydraulic lines. So I had to increase that, and I did that based on actual expenses year to date till March. So I upped that a little bit for that. The next big one is the 4053 supplies and operations. That one was actually decreased by $10,000, and I did that because of actual year-to-date expenses on that one. And then the 4092, which is the capital outlay equipment, that was actually an increase for that one.
If you can.
Am I correct?
Yeah. Yes.
$7,650 on that.
The last page is the details of this particular
account. That explains the capital outlay equipment in the next page there. Basically, the revenue side of it is new development reimbursements. That's $80,000, and I base that on Cannery Village and new houses going in, that type of thing. The new development out here at the end of 818. All that work there is actually paid for by the developer. They have to reimburse the town. And then the revenues, that was $174,500. And then the bond draw was $73,000 on that. Total revenues came up to $327,500. On the expenditure side, the administration, 4210 Town Hall carpet was to help pay to put new carpet inside Town Hall.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Then the billing software, that's contributing to the software for all the billing for the utilities for the town. And then the downtown area audio system, this is something that I've been thinking about for a few years, and looking at is having a downtown area audio system to announce, like during the festivals and that type of thing. It would be a setup here at Town Hall. You could play music throughout the downtown area, that type of thing. I've actually talked to a few vendors about it, how it would be done and that type of thing. So I budgeted $30,000 for that expenditure. I foresee it coming in less than that, but I figured it was a good amount to put in there for it. And then on the power distribution side, the 4230, a lot of these fall under the 10-year plan that Booth Associates put together. Rotten pole replacement was $30,000. We replace poles at least once every 2 weeks here in the town. We have a lot of rotten poles in the area, and we're replacing them. And then the install the new service, that is the expenditure for the $80,000 for the new development up top. So they kind of offset each other. And then the 4230, replacing three transclosures, that was a recommendation in the 10-year plan that was put together by Booth Associates. And then the AMR meter system, that was $100,000, which is going to be carried over into 15. And then the induction lights, we have replaced all the low-pressure sodium lights in town. Now we're starting to deal with the 175-watt mercury vapor. You can no longer buy mercury vapor bulbs because they have mercury in them, because of the EPA. So we were looking at getting replacement induction lights to go along with the ones that we've already installed for that purpose.
And how many lights are we talking about roughly?
On the 175, mm-hmm. there's probably about 70, I would say, somewhere in there.
How do you dispose of those lights?
We actually have to remove the capacitors out of them now. We have a bulb. We have a big bin that we store all the bulbs in, even the fluorescent bulbs that we take out of town hall. And every year we carry them down to Snow Hill, down to the dump, and they have a place where you can take that type of material to. We actually take the ballast out of the light also for that purpose. So the total expenditures come up to $327,500, which is the same as the revenues.
Does anyone have any questions for Tim regarding either the operating budget or the capital budget?
Your downtown area audio system.
Yes, ma'am.
I know when we're planning for events, you know, a lot of times we have to pay money to people to do sound. Would that take care of that?
Yes.
Or would we still have to pay people?
This type of system, you would actually be able to stand anywhere and announce, you know, what's going on during the festivals. You'd be able to play music throughout the downtown area.
But I mean, like they're doing, like the fiddlers, the jazz and blues, could we hook mics to that, and we wouldn't need to hire somebody to set up a sound system?
I can't.
Probably,
no,
yes.
You would still have to
have
a sound.
Still have to do that.
Yes.
Yeah.
Steve Freeney rigged up wires on top of all the buildings there for a while.
Yeah, he did. He was pumping some music through to him.
Some of the vendors I actually talked to about doing a wireless type setup where you didn't have to run all these wires, and what they told me is that you would have major issues trying to do it that way. You would have intermittent, you know, music, that type of thing. It just going wireless, and they recommended that you run cables so it's hardwired.
Because the brick buildings.
That's correct. Yes.
Any other questions or comments related to the electric utility?
Are you comfortable with the generation plant now that we've spent all this money and you've been here a few years?
Mm-hmm. Yes, I'm.
We don't have any. You know, we had that one generator we used to worry about. It's in pretty good shape now.
Yes, I'm very comfortable with the generation plant. Casey's done a wonderful job there of maintaining everything. And like all the oxidation catalysts, that's all working properly the way it's supposed to.
You've been a wonderful asset to the town.
Thank you.
Yeah, and I have to say, I think most people in the community have seen the benefit because of little things like outages and sometimes adversity. So far, we've been very, very fortunate that you know, we don't maybe measure our outages in hours at the most, not days. And whenever we're on the other side of the bay, they can't believe it.
Yes.
So, that's one thing. And of course, obviously, that's reliabilities and the. It's harder to say which is more important, rates or reliability, and as long as we keep the rates competitive.
That's
and
correct.
Reliability, you know, exceptional, which I think is what it has been. And I also think that's another thing, looking down the road, you know, not tomorrow, but given what appears to be a more, unstable environment in terms of the weather and the what I call, I would describe as the increase in the amount of extreme weather. Step by step, we may look into over time, and it's right at this point, it's more conceptual, not a plan yet, but I think it's one of the things I think it would be smart to do, to study it first and then eventually follow it the way to do it is to, by section, go underground with our electric distribution system. Because it doesn't matter how damn hard the wind's blowing or it's raining, if everything's underground.
That's
you,
correct.
You might have a problem here and there, but and I'm trying to think ahead about it. Just seems to me the severity of thunderstorms in the summer, the amount of rain that we receive from some of the storms, the amount of high gusting wind that can now shear off power poles, multiple ones. These are all things I couldn't even imagine 20 years ago. So I just want to throw that idea as something to just reflect on, talk to other folks about, because of, you know, that's something that's within our
reach,
and our control if we do it step by step.
That's
you know, don't try to do it whole thing.
Now, doing something like that, like say starting with the Cannery Village, you know, like going forward with the new construction.
Right.
Instead of putting the poles up that we're going to take down to go, I mean, how hard is it to go ahead and go?
We're actually mandated by the Public Service Commission, any new services have to go underground, and that's mandated by the state.
But there's so much less maintenance in the ground versus...
There's a lot less maintenance, and aesthetically wise, it looks a whole lot better.
Absolutely. You don't have to worry about weather, too.
Powhatan Avenue is a good example.
Oh, absolutely.
When I understand that was overhead before I got here, and when you look at it now and it's underground, it's totally
before
different.
Before and after on that street.
Yeah, even downtown. Mm-hmm.
Yep. You can see a big difference.
Good. Well, again, thank you very much for
thank you.
All you're doing. Let's have a bearable summer and the main thing to make sure everybody's safe.
Thank you.
I mean, that's the one thing that we got to try to, I don't know how we do it from our family in town, but the one thing I hear from so many people wanting to come here, they still think we are a high electric rate, and I want to choke people. Like, it's cheaper than Chop Tank, it's cheaper than Delmar Power. It's more reliable, and I don't know what we got to do to get that old slime washed off of us, because it's just not the truth anymore, and nobody believes it.
But I made a public statement in a meeting, a nonprofit organization, saying that we would be cheaper this year than Chop Tank.
And we are. Mm-hmm. I look at it every month. I compare the rates every single month.
Is it possible to make a comparison, or maybe is it okay for us to make a comparison and publicly announce it, comparing us, our rates, Town of Berlin rates, to other utilities?
Could we have a handout that we could give out?
We just have a billboard on 113. I forgot who had that up. Is it cheapest rates in Peninsula or Delmar or something like that?
I would venture to guess John Howard Rivers would say that.
I would venture to say that. He did a wonderful job.
I need a handout showing Chop Tank, Delmar, and Town of Berlin that people could have would be helpful.
We don't have to make the final decision tonight, but we'll throw out some things. Handouts that are available. And also, make sure, of course, obviously, be very sure that the information is credible and is not just a shot in time, but maybe a year or something, something at least a minimum of 12 months. And then have it on our website, and then we can think about if there's other appropriate ways to do this. We're not trying to throw the sand in anybody's face, because all of us work together. But it is something that I think you have a very valid
point. It's factual.
Yeah, a very valid point. If the perception is inappropriate, it's our responsibility to try to do something about it.
It may be a bit in the future, but when natural gas becomes total in town, and you're going to have to wait a couple of years till capital expenses are absorbed, the two together.
The two together might make us very competitive.
Mm-hmm.
But I think a lot of what this negativism is, so many people are comparing living in a municipality as opposed to living in a county.
Yeah, and I say taxes are like, okay, what's it, fees in Ocean Pond? What do you pay for the pool over there? What do you pay for this and that and everything else? And all of a sudden, okay, you live on the farm between here and Liberty Town, you're right, okay. But you got a septic system.
Yeah, someday that has to be replaced.
Right now, it doesn't cost that much, but down the road, it's your responsibility.
They all have to be replaced.
That's what people see the first time homeowner. Yeah. You know, they see that no monthly fee.
Right.
But the town, we've spent a lot of money upgrading this plant. staff has done a lot of work to turn that around, and people need to know that we have turned it around. That's a whole different power plant than, say, 7 years ago.
Another thing that
it's a whole different thing.
Right. Another thing that Delmar Power does, I'm sure you know it, they compare their last year rates with this year rates.
Correct.
They show the customer just what they paid last year.
Yes.
And what they're paying this year.
Right.
Whether they use more or less.
New billing software.
I think you I was getting ready to say that right there.
You read in my mind.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, I can't do this with this.
You're really getting in there. You're communicating with
our sales. The software is compatible with some good smart meters. So we have a good choice with that. That's going to be important.
Oh, yeah.
You know, we talk about the equipment that we purchased and we fix things and all that kind of stuff, but a lot of it has to deal with the management of this utility now, which is real, real good.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
And I want to congratulate, too, that the fact that you're bringing in new people.
Yes.
And there's a time of our more experienced utility linemen and other folks to transfer their
A lot of
institutional knowledge to people who are going to be depending on for a long time.
A lot of the credit goes to the crew. I have an outstanding department. The existing linemen that I had and the new ones I just hired, very experienced.
Is it industry procedure or standards that when they're trimming those tree things, it's just one person operating that truck and one person on site?
No, you normally have at least three. It depends on whether it's a side street or not, but if you're on the main street,
like
Maple, as long as you have one, one in the bucket and one on the ground feeding the chipper, the branches. But normally we have three people together, and the reason why is a lot of times you have to have a flagman. So they'll be over there flagging, and then a lot of times you get the job finished quicker with two people on the ground because they have to pull the limbs out of the yards and then feed them into the chipper, and they kind of stay busy one after another. What we did at this past couple of weeks ago is you authorized the approval to buy another hydraulic tree trimmer for our other bucket truck. So now we have the capability of running two trucks at the same time.
So really after a storm or a major event, it'll take less time.
That's correct. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah. Again, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Yeah, appreciate it. I think we've made it through the work session for the utilities. I don't think any blood was spilled, and it sounds very doable.
Thank you.
I guess we'll go ahead and now adjourn this work session.